Kwe Willatasi na Niki Pekesen, Tulusi Moyen, Tulusi Mato, Tulusi Phil. I'm your host and welcome to Taka Impact. Today, we are bridging the past and present by reconnecting you with the spirit and strength of Indigenous cultures. Together, we'll dive into the stories and efforts that are restoring buffalo herds, healing our lands, and revitalizing Native communities. With that, I can't think of a better person to achieve this than our guest today, Don Sherman. A trailblazer in both the business world and Native community advocacy. With over 25 years of entrepreneurial expertise, Don Sherman is one of the founding board members and executive director of Tonka Fund. Her commitment to transforming food systems and improving community health is deeply influenced by her South Dakota roots. Don's career includes significant roles in the automotive industry, where she excelled in financial leadership and operational efficiency. Her leadership at Native American Natural Foods further showcased her skills, culminating in the success of Tonka Bar, a buffalo snack that was once produced here at Pine Ridge Reservation. Beyond her work with Tonka Fund, however, Don is an advocate for sustainable agriculture through the Regenerative Agricultural Alliance and contributes to her tribe's interests as a board member of the American Woolen Company. Join us in welcoming Don as we explore her vision for buffalo restoration, community empowerment, and the broader impact of her work in Native communities. Welcome, Don, to the show. We're grateful to have you here today.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
So that long list of stuff that we did, I mean, you've obviously been extremely busy in the last decade. Could you take us through how all of this kind of came to be, from growing up in Pine Ridge to, you know, how your South Dakota roots really have shaped your vision today?
We can start a little bit. I was born and raised in South Dakota, and my mom is Oglala Lakota, and my dad is Shawnee, Delaware, and Cree. So that's where I represent multiple tribes, Lakota, Shawnee, my Lenape roots, as well as some Creek roots. My mom raised me in Rapid City, South Dakota, which is outside of the Pine Ridge Reservation, and the Lakota Homes, which is the Native community that is in Rapid City on the north side of town. So that's where I was born and raised, and in South Dakota. So my roots go deep there, and with my community in Pine Ridge, as a child, and in the Native community on the north side of Rapid City. So as I grew up and I started working for entrepreneurs, usually small business owners, starting from as small as a ceramic company with my aunt, and then another gentleman in Rapid City where we shipped our pottery and our ceramics nationwide that had Native designs and had our culture in it, with the artistry that we did within the ceramic industry. So I started, you know, just a normal person, you know, coming out of lots of siblings. You know, I have seven of us total in my family, with brothers and sisters, and being the oldest of them. So I've always had the responsibility in our in our family and in our culture as being the eldest. So the responsibility that's needed coming from that side too is helping raise my siblings growing up. So always had that instilled in me, as well as a lot of social justice for our people. My father and my mother were both in the American Indian Movement, which is AIM. So I was considered born out of the AIM movement. And so that has always been in my roots too. So as I started working for entrepreneurs and attending some school and having opportunities and doors open for me, I ended up working for a car business for 12 years in Rapid City, and also entrepreneurs there, both those families, and got world-class training on customer service and objections and working there, and decided that I wanted to give back to my community, spend some more time with my kids, because car business is very intense, and 6 days a week and holidays, no weekends. So I ended up switching and going to work for two entrepreneurs, Mark Dilson and Carlene Hunter, at Native American Natural Foods, which was the creator of the Tonka Bar. So it's kind of full circle as I talk about it, is, you know, the big thing here is working for entrepreneurs that have vision, that want to give back to their communities. I've always been able to have that flexibility of working for entrepreneurs and understanding that there is flexibility needed in small businesses and vision and having to, you know, be creative in how to build your businesses up, get sales, and keep that going moving forward. So a lot of my skills have come from that, and I've applied a lot of that experience at Tonka Fund.
That's amazing. It's quite a full circle, like you said, bringing it right back to the community and kind of going, kind of step by step along the way. You can really see how you were able to grow in that sphere and then eventually, you know, end up where you're at right now. I'd like to just bring it back, though. A quick question for those who may not know is, like, you are a member of multiple tribes. Where in the U.S. would these tribes be? Are they mainly West Coast, East Coast? What does that look like geography wise?
On my mother's side, obviously, from the Pine Ridge Reservation, Ogallala, Lakota. On my father's side, we have the Shawnee, the Delaware, which is Lenape. And on that side, the Delawares are from the East Coast. So we originated in the New York, New Jersey area. And that's where we were one of the original tribes, who were known as the original people. And we were relocated several times, and through the Trail of Tears, as we know, we ended up in the Oklahoma territory. So same with my Shawnee side is also from that area, and we were relocated to Oklahoma. So a lot of roots are there in Oklahoma now with the territory where our people are currently at. And there's several Lenape tribes in the United States that are represented from there. And I'm in one of those tribes, which is the Delaware of Indians in Oklahoma and Bartlesville.
And I'm sure, like, that in itself has a massively deep history that you could go into. But we'll save that for another day. I could ask you questions about this all day, about, you know, what that looks like, all the different nuances of how that relocation happened. There's so many things to talk about. But today I really wanted to dive into your membership, because you're a member of the Tonka Fund board, and then you moved into an executive role working directly with Tonka Fund, and you bring obviously your South Dakota roots into that, but more so, I think you bring your entire history into that as well. And just for full transparency for our show, Tonka Fund is a direct sponsor. That being said, though, could you talk a little bit about Tonka Fund's mission? Because when you here, restoring the lands, lives, and economies to Indigenous peoples, like, that's the mission vibe. But what does that mean? Is like, because that can mean a lot of things, and I'd be interested to hear your take on that.
Our mission, obviously, like you said, is returning buffalo to the lands, lives, economy of Native people. And really, that just comes from the roots of me as the person and our culture as Lakota people. We're a Buffalo Nation, and we're deeply connected to the buffalo. So as Tonka Fund was envisioned, it actually came out of Native American Napa Foods with Mark and Carlene, as we had the Tonka Bar, and they created this out of a traditional recipe, a Lakota recipe of Wasna. So taking just traditional and making it a modern snack bar. So as that grew, they had seeing that there was still a need for our ranchers on the ground, the ones working the land, raising the animal, to be able to have this opportunity within our own buffalo economy. So Tonka Fund was born out of that. And so it was really based in the community from the beginning, and that mission. So to me, it means restoring our relatives and our ancestors back to the lands where they originated. We all know the story of why they were... there's so little buffalo in the United States now compared to what there was in the 1800s and before that, when our peoples were on this land. There's numbers anywhere from 50 to 60 million that our ancestors had roamed this. And with the buffalo being part of our culture, it's our origin story. We were born of the buffalo, and we are. So having that honor and respect to me is, you know, the least that I can do to give back to the buffalo and to my people and to my ancestors and honor them in that way.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, is how it ties directly back in. It's like, I was going to ask you, you know, is like, what does that mean as a sister nation? But I think you answered that beautifully there. I mean, when you think about it, is like they're directly tied, the part of the origin story of the Lakota, you know, restoring them only makes sense because it's directly tied to the people, right? And what that looks like means a lot, not just everyone involved, but I would argue, you know, across the board, the nation, as we restore, Wissahick Fund works to restore all of these things and bring Buffalo back. I mean, you could see the impact of that just in the land itself over the years. And I'm sure that we'll be able to speak to that as time progresses. That being said, I would like to ask you, is like, how many ranchers does Tonka Fund have? Is like, are they all native? Are they spread about? How many do they have?
Currently, Tonka Fund has 19 ranchers in our network, and they are across the Midwest, is the majority of them, North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. But we're adding new ranchers, and we're asking anybody that's interested in raising buffalo or want to raise buffalo, has land, to reach out to us, obviously, at Tonka Fund. But we're looking to add approximately 8 more this year. So we're looking to increase that, hopefully up to close to 30 by the end of the year this year. So, and then obviously next year, we'd like to continue to add to that network. Yes, they are all native ranchers. They're indigenous. Either some of them are on reservation or native land, as well as some are outside of larger cities in areas there on their own land. So just to let you know, but they are all natives.
It's awesome. Indigenous communities helping other indigenous communities. I mean, it shows, you know, I believe the saying is Matakiase, right? We're all related. It really shows that circle of how, you know, helping one end will help the total sum, right? It'll help everybody. You know, that being said, how has Tonka Fund been able to like impact the communities that we serve from your perspective? I mean, you said we have 19 ranchers that are out there, you know, making an impact, making a difference. How is Tonka Fund a part of that? And how has Tonka Fund been able to kind of impact those communities within, you know, the last few years?
Over the last few years, and then when I think about it, over the last 10-year history, the impacts, when we think about it, are the three things: the lands, the lives, and the economies of the people. So over the 10 years, whether they were receiving direct funding from us, whether that's monies to be able to help with their operations, direct with Buffalo itself, or just to help them navigate FSA loans, or to network them with somebody in their community or in the buffalo industry to help realize the goals for the animals, the land, or the people. So I've seen many impacts from people getting buffalo that's never had ranches, never had buffalo before, transitioned from cattle to buffalo. So to see the impact of their lives and their kids' lives, it's really an honor. So we feel like our contribution is large. Just for the family, what it does to the health of the family, the health of the animals and the land, looking at them, really caring about the whole ecosystem. Our ranchers, they all have their own goals and dreams, and for us to help them in any way that we can, it is an honor. It is humbling. Also to see fencing go up and some of the kids and younger people going out to these ranches and seeing the buffalo, helping work the land or feeding them, taking hay out, breaking ice in the winter, whatever's needed. The excitement, you know, it's hard work. So it's great to see these people smiling when they're out there doing this work because they know that they're realizing their own dreams. So, and we just kind of help the best that we can and offer as much as we can as a nonprofit to those ranchers. So the impacts to the soil, I've had calls from ranchers that have said, I'm going to be able to have my animal per unit carry is going to be a little higher because of the work that you've done with me. So they just, they're appreciative of it. Some people that did get the buffalo that never had buffalo before would not have been able to do that without our partnerships with the Nature Conservancy and other partners to help get that buffalo on the land. Because that's a lot of capital and it's a lot of work to be able to get that done. So to be able to provide that network for the ranchers is awesome, as that's a lot of money to receive quite a bit of animals. So it to be able to help them in that way to get those animals on the land and honor them. So it's, you start peeling the layers of the impact buffalo have, and it just spreads. The roots, as we say, are really deep, and they spread out. So it's not just that family. I've seen it helping communities receiving meat, or being able to have a ceremony, or to honor a loved one, something like that. So I've seen it reach, you know, not just that direct part of the land and the family and that animal. We've seen it, the buffalo returning more.
That was a lot. As like someone who's had the privilege to be out there as well. I've been on a few of the ranchers' lands and seen, you know, what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, it never dawned to me how much of a task it is just to put up fencing. I think that was something that I took to heart when I saw the fences out there. I saw how large the fences need to be, just, you know, one, to have them up, but then two, to also be able to go over such vast amount of land. Like, a fencing project is huge. It's not something as simple as as I traditionally thought of it. It would be like, you know, putting a fence in your backyard. It's just something small. It's going to be an enclosure that's tiny. It's just not that. It's a huge underlying project, and it's just one facet of that, you know, that Tonga Fund really helps with. You mentioned, like, just so much there. I mean, we got the fencing, we got how it ties directly back into communities. And, you know, there's a lot of ceremony and spirituality involved with that as well. What I would like to know is, based off of that, is, like, you mentioned some of the Tonga Fund ranchers were able to help out with some of that giving back to the community. Could you go into a little more detail on what that looks like? Is like, I know there's a partnership, there's many partnerships that are at hand here. One that comes to mind that I know Tonga Fund is a part of is the Sacred Storm. I was like, I know we're tied with that. It's like, could you describe how Tonga Fund might give into that and what that really means for the community?
Yeah, I tie that into our economy side of our goal. We had a buffalo economy, and that is an array of things, from using the bones or the heads or any part of the buffalo for art, or a lot of artists use that and sell it. We talk about the meat itself and being able to feed the community. I've seen a lot of our ranchers, and actually most of them, give back to the community in some way, whether it's through ceremony and supporting with an animal that way, or with giving to the local commodity programs or the local feeding children and schools on that side. So there's an array of giving back with all our ranchers. And that's just part of, because our ranchers, we've talked about the culture, they represent an array of tribes. We, you know, it's not just the Lakotas here. You know, we have an array of tribes representative, because buffalo has touched many, many tribes throughout the history. A lot of tribes have had buffalo in their history, and it's part of their culture. And in our cultures is always to give back. And that's always been at feed the people. That's what brought us together in through intertribal trading, drying foods, being able to sustain through the winters, things such as that. So I've seen our ranchers do an array of it. And some, it's larger amounts to feed larger communities. And some, like I said, ceremonial, or just their local communities too. So part of this is, as we opened up this opportunity, Tonga Fund had this chance to be able to go in and partner with two other nonprofits. This is the Sacred Storm Buffalo facility in Rapid City that you've mentioned. We're really excited about it. I'm over the roof. I'm very proud of everybody over at the Sacred Storm plant and the Warriors Lodge of everything we've accomplished in a short amount of time. And this is just another example of one of Tonka's missions of bringing economics Buffalo economics back into the communities. So we have a plant that's not just a job. It's, you know, it's workforce development. It's creating opportunities for young Native men and women to be able to learn everything there is to be about Buffalo, not just the meat side, but the culture side, just, you know, working the land, being able to understand operations, marketing, logistics, everything that's involved with the economy side of this, the artwork, the hides. There's going to be opportunity across that for this side of it in the Buffalo's economy. So this just was a great fit. Mokoche Agriculture Development is the other nonprofit, and all, as well as Wombly Ska in Rapid City. So all three of us had similar missions, which is basically to give back to our community and our people and to feed our people. So how do we do that? And it was creating this collaborative network and with Indian Collective. And we were able to get together and purchase this facility in a short amount of time. And we already have many young men working there, and we have been feeding the community already in Rapid City as well as in the Pine Ridge Reservation. So this is just something when it fits, and it's the mission. It's, you know, it's about the people and about the young adults going through this to provide opportunity. So that's why it fits so well and why we're really excited about it.
I love that. And I think it really showcases the need to have, you know, the youth support, right? I think that's one of the things that I know we've had discussions about, just talking about, you know, the future and what that looks like. And not just, you know, us here at Tonka Fund, but those ranchers as well. It's like the amount of times that I've heard them say, you know, we're doing this for the next generation. We're building this for the next generation. I can, you know, it's one of those things that I think it really is paramount. And this is just one of those many aspects to what Tonka Fund is working on that really gives back and brings the youth together, right? And I think that that's something that needs to continue to be worked on because they're the future. And having, you know, a secure future means that this will continue, that the cycle will continue, and then we'll be able to watch them grow and watch them learn. And I think that's one of those things that is really difficult to maintain. But once you get it, and once you see them working and seeing how phenomenal their ideas can be, it really is, you know, it's gratifying, right? And you can see the future and you know it's going to be in great hands. So, you know, with that being said, do you have any advice for maybe aspiring leaders, aspiring ranchers, people who want to get into the industry that have, you know, maybe like nothing, but they have the heart, they have the drive, they want to start somewhere? What does that look like? Do you have any advice that you could give for someone like that?
A couple things I've said before. I always say face the storm. Just like the buffalo, I learn from the buffalo all the time and the ranchers. But one of the big things is facing the storm, just like the buffalo do. And eventually you will walk out of it. You're going to get, you know, some heavy hits, in which I call them the nose or anything. But be resilient like the buffalo, face the storm. And eventually it does break open and you have those. And that's building those bridges and opportunities. So I just say keep going forward. But if you're interested in raising buffalo, even if you don't have anything, definitely want you to reach out to tonkafund.org and email us. And we can definitely give advice. We can help. You can be part of the network to show what we can do and assist you on that side. If you're a cattle rancher aspiring to transfer into buffalo, we ask you to reach out. You have land, but you don't have buffalo, but you aspire to have it, reach out. So anybody can either, if you don't want to be in the buffalo industry, just, you know, reach out. You can help in other ways. Some of our ranchers look for volunteer opportunities, and other ways is just to be an advocate and a good relative, and then to donate. Also, there's many ways that you can help through there, but if you're aspiring to be a buffalo or anybody, you just face the storm.
That's really solid advice. And for those who don't know, the facing the storm, that's you know, just to reiterate, that's how buffalo get through really tough hardships. So if the winter storm is coming, they will brace, they will walk through it because it's the fastest way out of said storm. And I think when you think about life and you think about all the differences, the challenges that can be brought up, I think facing the storm is you know, the best way to do it. It's hard, but it will get you through. And that's really excellent advice for those who are aspiring, either, you know, either young or not. It's just solid advice, I think, all around. I only have one real last question that I kind of want to talk before I kind of give the floor back to you. Looking back at everything we discussed and all of the achievements that, you know, you have been a part of over the last decade working with Tonka Fund, what is the thing you're most proud of? What is the thing that you look back and you go, you know what, it's like, this is the best thing that I've been able to do as a board member, as the executive director, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about maybe some of those lessons you learned along the way to make that achievement happen?
Not, I wouldn't say necessarily one thing that I've done. To be here 10 years later after seeing it launch at the powwow in 2014 and to sit here today as the executive director, I never would have imagined I would have been sitting in this seat right here. But you know, here we are. But looking back, it's really the legacy or the story of Tonka in itself and the resilience is the accomplishment that I'm most proud of, and all the aspects of what Tonka embodies as far as for the community and for the people of returning buffalo back to native lands, lives, and economies. I feel that's like the biggest accomplishment, and it was as a result of a team and people and supporters and partnerships and everybody involved. So I sometimes I get uncomfortable just being transparent, really saying that it was an accomplishment I did because it wasn't. It was hard work from a lot of people digging trenches and being at the tip of it, of this part of it from the beginning all the way to today. A lot of sacrifices and things there with teams and to get to see Tonka Fund where it is here today, where we're talking about over 300 buffalo released last year and over 100,000 acres and a little over 1,500 buffalo when we started at zero there. And to see that today is what I've been proud of, is and to see that there's a network of ranchers, to see that dream and that vision from the two entrepreneurs to say, hey, this is needed, and to show that Tonka Fund is a unique nonprofit bringing individual native ranchers helping fulfill their dreams. I feel that's the biggest accomplishment, to see that we're here 10 years later and still growing and still here, and we're forced to be reckoned with, you know, because we are showing that these ranchers, these entrepreneurs are want to bring buffalo back.
I don't even know how to follow that up. I mean, it's powerful, right? Like it just really is. That give me chills. It's a lot, right? And I think you're right. It's a cumulative work across the board. And it leaves me sitting here thinking about only one question is like, what's next? What's the next 5, 10 look like?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I say, what's the next 5, 10, 20, 30 looks like? The one thing that I was always told, I've had great, great mentors. I've learned so much from them. And whether it was through the business or with ranchers itself, all our ranchers out there, I learn every time I talk to them. But the return of the buffalo was in part because of entrepreneurs. These were ranchers, individual people that saw the decimation and said, we need to save these animals before they're gone. And I still see that resilience today with our ranchers and with our partners and everybody that's involved in returning buffalo, whether it's conservation, it's in the industry, there's a respect that these buffaloes deserve because they are keystone species to this land. So so I talk about the entrepreneurship and the resilience of these ranchers and the buffalo itself. And, you know, it's an honor, but what I've realized is the array of experience that these ranchers have and the resilience to be able to continue to move forward to raise buffalo and lamb in these economics today is amazing. So for me is to continue to extend that support to those entrepreneurs and those ranchers that brought buffalo back, and they continue to bring buffalo back. So to me, I see our vision to grow larger. So we're bringing on another 8, like I said. So, you know, we're looking to support those 8. And then along that to add that next 5 or 10, and they're all different. So we have to support them in all their goals, whether it's infrastructure, operations, animals, feeding their community, having a community herd, a cultural herd, a commercial herd, whatever their goals are, that's what we're here for. So in the future, I just see for the next 10 years of Tonkafun is to continue to grow. Obviously, we continue to look for partners and support throughout the growth in all three of our projects, Lambs, Lives, Economy. So economies, we have Sacred Storm, we have lots of opportunities. Lands is to help continue to bring on new ranchers, because new ranchers mean more land, more animals, and to support them. And then the lives is the healthy lives of the families, the communities, and the people. So I continue to see us extending that. Second, I continue to see us extending the science work in some of the ways and capturing the knowledge of our elders. A lot of this work that is done out in the field using indigenous knowledge, the practices that they're doing, for them to have some of the work from the science that's available out there is to offer the more technical assistance to them. So they have that baseline of what the impacts are being done to their land with the buffalo. So leaning into that. And then we would like to have a buffalo education center and have a place where our ranchers can go, or our interns, and we have a central location in the Plains area, and have our own herd. So that is on our goal here as we're moving into the next 5 to 10 years.
Sounds like you got your work cut out for you.
Yes, we do. What do you do?
Can't stop, won't stop, they say, right?
Yes, exactly. And it's a lot of fun. Working for Tonka has been a blessing, and it's been humbling, and it's been hard. It's been fun, you know, all of it. And if I didn't have that opportunity, you know, almost 13 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. So I always thank everybody that was involved in helping provide an opportunity. And that's what I see for our young generation as we're moving forward at Tonka Fund, bringing in younger people to help carry on this vision. And because this is the legacy of Tonka, is to continue to support this. So I say the sky's the limit. It really is. I feel like that it really is. And to have fun, we do. There's a lot of fun out there on the fields. You've seen it, Phil. And are these people on the land are the salt of the earth and blood, sweat, and tears. And to see them still have fun and enjoying it, you know, it's so fulfilling.
No, I agree. And you're right. I have seen it firsthand. You go out there and you could see the love and the passion that each ranch has, and that meaning for not only them, but for their families as well. It's a really great environment. And it's one of those things that, as it be built out and as things become larger, you know, given back to those lands, lives, and economies, I really feel like more people are going to be exposed to it, be able to see that. And part of, you know, growing is having fun. So it's really awesome to be able to experience that, to see that in our youth, to see that in our elders too. We're out there giving their blood, sweat, and tears, like you said, to the lands, and seeing that, you know, they're enjoying the work, that their work is rewarding to them, because it nourishes not only, you know, their urge to work and their finances, but more importantly, it nourishes, you know, who they are as a person. It goes back mm-hmm. into their culture. It goes back into everything that they grew up knowing, and being able to give back to that. I mean, I don't think there's anything more rewarding that you could really do. It's really phenomenal work.
It is. It is. I mean, and to hear the stories when we're out on the field, you know, the different stories of the Buffalo did this, and I've never seen them do that before. Or just laughing, saying, you know, what happened to that gate? And they're like, oh, you know, these two dudes decided to fight, and they pushed one into the gate, because, you know, we always talk about fencing, and that's a constant for the ranchers. You know, even if they get fencing up, it's not that it stays there permanently. They're always having to repair or fix, right? So you're always hearing stories about, oh, you know, so-and-so got a little rough, and, you know, or they just didn't want to be in the pasture today. They decided they wanted to go over there. So to see those stories is a lot of fun, and to see their children and their kids and out in the ranch, you know, carrying on, knowing that, you know, they have their transitions and their youth involved is amazing. And then Sacred Storm, listening to those young men going out to the fields and going on to the ranches, because obviously we would do it as humane as possible. And they're out there on the ranches, and they get to see these buffalo do things they've never seen before and be out on the land, which a lot of the urban children, kids haven't had the opportunity to be out on the land to see those buffalo out there. So I've heard a few stories from those kids while they've been out there that, you know, look at that buffalo. Because when one does pass, the buffalo are very aware of it. And there's a mannerism, and there's things that they do that they always do. So for those kids to see that connection is amazing, because it makes me feel like our future is bright. To know that there is still our youth that want to be interested in this and in whatever aspect they want, you know, want to participate. So I'm really excited to see that grow, our youth grow. You know, it's just exciting. I can't ever say enough to, you know, just how proud I am of the youth, our interns too, to see them grow through our 12 weeks was amazing.
No, I agree. We've spoken to them, which will those episodes will come out on Taka Impact later, and to see how they've grown in such a short amount of time, I think that's one of the things that was really rewarding, and I think that's for all involved. And I can't wait to capture and speak to those youth and to hear their side of the stories as those opportunities are being built for them, so that this way in the future they have all the tools and resources to continue to build this, to continue to give back to the community, to continue to do all those things. And I think that, you know, the resiliency that is brought not only from Taco Fund, but the ranchers involved is, you know, is something to be proud of. So, you know, with that, you know, thank you. Well, Alan, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate your time. And, you know, in the next 5, 10, 20 years, there's a lot of work to be done. But I feel like that the direction it's all going, it'll be, you know, facing the storm. It'll be tough, but worthwhile.
Thank you. Thank you, Philip.
Taka Impact is proudly sponsored by Taka Fund. Taka Fund is a Native American-led and staffed 501c3 organization with a powerful mission to return buffalo to Native American lands, lives, and economies. Since 2014, Taka Fund has been dedicated to supporting Native American-owned and operated buffalo ranches, providing animals, grants, and technical assistance to family and community-based ranches. By restoring buffalo herds, Taka Fund is helping to revive our cultural heritage, strengthen our communities, and create sustainable futures. To learn more and how to support this important work, visit tonkafund.org.